The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you can join us for this particular netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey. Tell you what, it is really a privilege to be able to come to you as we share the Word of God and have you tune in to this netcast. It's a blessing because, you know, you like to know there are people out there listening to what you have to say. And I get some really good letters and comments from folks that are watching the netcast, and I really appreciate it. We've got some exciting things for this netcast. I want to share some things with you, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. First of all, let me give you an update on speakfaith.tv. You know, last time we went over how the new channel works, the one that's been rewritten, and we have added some exciting programming to that channel. As a matter of fact, I am really excited about one that I just added in the last couple of days. Basically, yesterday was the majority of the work that was done was yesterday. So we're talking fresh off the press here. We've got a new part of speakfaith.tv, and that is what we call Faith Classics. Faith Classics are teachings from folks like Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, Dr. Norval Hayes, Vicki Jameson Peterson, T.L. Osborne, all of these folks that have taught the Word of God for so many years. And most of these messages are from the mid-1990s. As time goes by, we gain more, you know, availability of other videos. We're going to be sharing even older videos of folks that are teaching the uncompromising Word of Faith. So you don't want to miss that. Go to speakfaith.tv, our Roku channel. If you have a Roku device, such as the one pictured here, go ahead and get one if you haven't, because I tell you what, you're going to want speakfaith.tv. And you're going to probably really want it through a Roku channel because it will really be a blessing to see it that way. But, as I've mentioned before, that's not the only way that you can get speakfaith.tv. You can also go to the website directly. Now, that website is, of course, speakfaith, one word, run it together, speakfaith.tv, not .org, not .com, not .net, but .tv. Go to that website, go over to the left-hand column, and on that left-hand column, you will see the speakfaith.tv video feeds and audio feeds. You can click on that, then click on the link and watch it right there on your computer, on your web browser. You can also watch it on your tablet, on your iPhone, your Android phone, whatever. Anything that you can get to the web and enter that address, speakfaith.tv, you can watch the speakfaith.tv programming, and it is updated daily. I mean, that is one of the main things that I do here at Word of Faith Ministries is update speakfaith.tv. That's part of our vision. Proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, train people to fulfill the Word of God. And so that showcasing of ministries, that's what speakfaith.tv is all about. So you need to get it, watch it, be blessed by it. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go into our teaching. For this week, we're going to have a two-part series here of teaching on holiness. Now, I taught on the radio program, oh, it's been a month or so ago now, on holiness. And this is that same teaching, but it is from Faith and Victory Church. I taught one Wednesday night not too long ago at Faith and Victory Church, the church that I'm a member of. Pastor Ed Taylor, Dr. Ed Taylor, is the pastor there. And I tell you, I encourage you, if you're in the Greensboro area, come on out to Faith and Victory Church. We meet at the Greensboro Jamestown Community Center there off of Hilltop Road. And their directions on the website. The website is fvc.org. And you can get directions to Faith and Victory Church there. But one Wednesday night, I taught their own holiness. And it's a topic that not a lot of people have been teaching on, but I tell you what, it is something you need to get involved in. So let's go into that teaching right now.
All righty. Well, as I said, Pastor asked me to teach tonight. I think he's taking some well-deserved time off and getting a little rest in. And I had been studying on something, so it was fortuitous timing to pick this up. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll receive the offering at the end of the service. Those of you that are watching on Facebook, welcome. Glad you could join us. We're going to be talking about something really interesting here tonight, so get your Bibles out and study along with us. This is our regular Bible study. So before we get started, though, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come this evening and receive from your Word. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church, and so we make ourselves available to Him to teach us and to guide us, direct us here tonight to receive from your Word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be talking about something really interesting, something a lot of Word of Faith folks don't talk about very much, depending on the background they came out of. I know it was kind of new territory for me to a large extent, and that is holiness. Now, if you came out of a Pentecostal holiness background, you probably heard a lot of teaching on holiness. But I was raised Southern Baptist. We didn't have a whole lot of holiness teaching. You know, the deacons like to stand out in the parking lot and smoke cigarettes and swap stories and so forth between services. So it was not exactly what you'd call a holiness church. But they had their limits. Baptists don't, you know, they don't dance. So you couldn't go to any dances, couldn't play cards. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. You can smoke and cuss, but you can't play cards and dance. But, well, praise the Lord, you know. It makes sense to somebody. You know, it's like I heard a good Baptist say one time, I live a holy life. I live according to the back of my hymnal. Because there's rules and regs for Baptists in the back of the hymnal. So anyway, not exactly the highest authority. I like what I heard Brother Hagin say one time. Said somebody came to him and said, well, you know, it's just like the song says. And he said, like the song says. Oh, yeah, it's like that old song says. He said, that's not scripture. A lot of people have a lot of weird ideas of what is authority. But we're going to look at the Word of God. That is the authority in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope. By the way, I'm reading from the New King James. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I started studying the whole topic of holiness based on something that Brother Kenneth Hagin said, Brother Kenneth Copeland, I was talking about Brother Hagin earlier, Kenneth Copeland said at the recent ICFM convention. I call it ICFCM because back in the day, in 1979, it was the ICFCM, the International Convention of Faith Churches and Ministries. They shortened it down to ICFM, so I still stumble occasionally and call it by its original name because I joined back in 79. But they had their 40th annual convention recently in Fort Worth, and I was down there for that. I was privileged to be able to teach down there on technology and ministry. Praise the Lord. That was great. But Brother Copeland had the last session on Thursday night, and he made a statement that just really went off in my spirit, and it gave me a little different perspective on things concerning holiness. He made the statement that as born-again believers, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've done a lot of study on that as Word of Faith folks, and we've heard that taught. Brother Copeland has taught on it a lot. And really, the whole point of right standing with God is position. We have been given right position with Him through Jesus Christ. It's not because of us, it's not because of our works, but it is entirely based on what Jesus has done for us. And that position in God is something we have as believers. So we are in right standing, and that literally means we have, as the Brother Copeland has pointed out before, originally with the government, what we know as the Bill of Rights was originally called the Bill of Righteousness, because it was, if you are in right standing with the federal government, then the federal government considers you in right standing with them or in right position. If you get out of that right position, then you could lose your rights that are given through the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, meaning, for instance, if you commit a felony and so forth, you can have your right to vote curtailed or stripped away. So, you know, that is right standing with the government. And we have right standing with God. And that's a gift. It's absolutely a gift. And Brother Copeland made the statement. Here's what he said. Righteousness is what we've been made. That is God's gift to us. Holiness, our walking it out in our daily life, is our gift to God. And that really struck me. Holiness is our gift to God. It's something that we do on a continual basis to live right before the Lord as a gift to Him. We want to please our Father God. You know, my earthly father, I always wanted to please him. Now, he could be a rough character. He was a sailor, and, he was a strong individualist and a disciplinarian. You certainly didn't get away with anything with him. He'd take a switch to you, and I've had that done many a time, you know, and as they say, it didn't ruin me. I'm still fine. But at any rate, I had an inner desire to please him. And he, thankfully, always told me, Bill, you can do anything that you put your mind to do. You can grow up to be anything you want to be. And he always encouraged me and always was a blessing to me. But, as I say, he could be a bit of a disciplinarian. And he also could be a little rough around the edges. He could use language like a sailor occasionally. And so I grew up with that happening occasionally. And so when I was in high school, well, junior high at least, my language was not what it should be. And one day, this is leading up to a story here, but one day I went to school and we were told to go to the auditorium. We had a special speaker. And this tells you how long ago this was, that in a regular school, they would bring together everybody in the auditorium for a minister to come preach to us. And this was a guy who was a young man. I remember his name, Mike Clore. I don't know where he is today or what he's teaching, but he came and taught to the young people there in the auditorium. And he was teaching the gospel, and he was encouraging people to get born again. Of course, I was born again, but like I said, I was rough around the edges, and I was using some language I shouldn't and so forth. So I'm sitting there pretty much under conviction. And I'm thinking, Lord, I need to do better. I need to clean my act up. I shouldn't be acting like I'm acting. And here I am. I know I'm born again. I got born again in 69. So, you know, I know better than this. And so I was just in a repentant state. And the Lord dealt with me and said, well, I can deliver you right now of your cursing. And I said, you know, I'm a Baptist. What do I know? I've never heard anything about deliverance of any kind. So I said, well, all right, I'm game for that. And I just felt something in my spirit. And from then on, I never cursed. I never used bad language again. And it was miraculous. I mean, when I would come up on a situation that I would normally let loose, I just would stop. And I wouldn't curse. Now, that's not to say I didn't say anything that I shouldn't have said. You know, whatever is not of faith is sin. So certainly there were times I said things that were not in faith. But as far as that habit that I had, I was delivered from that. And I praise the Lord for that. I wrote that down. I had a little journal that I kept. And I wrote that down in my journal that on that date, I was delivered from that. And I praise the Lord for it. And recently, I was on Facebook. And I was in a group that was supposed to be at least a Christian group. These were folks that, you know, claimed at least to be believers. Maybe not word of faith necessarily, but believers. And so I was in this group. And somebody posted an interesting post. They said, how many of you can say you've gone 24 hours without cursing. And I thought, well, that's easy. You know, in my case, oh, that's easy. But then I started noticing all these comments from these folks that are believers. Oh, I couldn't go 24 hours without cursing. And on and on and on and down further and further I read. And the more and more I saw, I thought, well, what do you know? I'm the exception here. I'm not the rule. I'm the exception of the people who say they couldn't go 24 hours without cursing. These are believers. These are Christians. And I got to thinking about that. Be ye holy as I am holy. And I thought, well, you know, if you can't tame your tongue, that much even. Now, I can understand people having a problem with unbelief. They're saying things they shouldn't be saying concerning their life and so forth. But just plain old cussing? That really kind of shook me. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I can see what Brother Copeland is saying about it's time to scrub ourselves up. And he went on to say that we all need to get a good scrubbing of our personal lifestyle. And he said that he had set on a quest himself to do that, to scrub himself up. And he used an example that I have used in the past and I kind of like. You know we're forgiven. We know that we've received Jesus as our Lord. We know we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that all that is through Him and through our faith and belief in Him. But at the same time, if we sin, we know we have 1 John 1:9, that we can confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, a lot of people that are teaching greasy grace these days, they want to take that scripture out of the Bible. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, what you say. Why, I can just live any old way I want to live, and I don't have to confess my sin. Well, no, that's why it's in there, is that we confess our sin in order to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now, the reason is that, as I said, this is an example I've used before. Think of it as like a pipe or a conduit between you and God. And that pipe, as long as it's cleared out, the fellowship you have with the Lord is very clear and clean and easy. You know, you talk to Him, He talks to you, you have great fellowship with Him. But if you start getting it clogged up with junk, then whatever you're praying to Him, it just seems like it's hindered. You know, and whatever answers He's sending your way, it's like it's kind of slowed down and hindered. And so we need to keep the pipes clear. You know, get out the old Roto-Rooter occasionally and clean that thing out. And so that's what 1 John 1:9 is for. So Brother Copeland was talking about, you know, as he said, I wasn't out running around on glory. I wasn't committing any terrible sins or anything like that. But he said, I noticed I wasn't being as strict about my confession. I wasn't being as strict on staying in faith and believing God, and I was kind of cruising and coasting along. And he said, I just needed to tighten up the ship a little bit. I needed to tighten myself up. And he said, one example of the result of that, clean up, as he called it, cleaning himself up by confessing these things as sin, was he had always had to deal with back issues. And he got to the point that his back, it just hurt off and on occasionally. And it wasn't debilitating. It wasn't keeping him from preaching. It was just annoying. You know, it was just an annoying pain every so often. And he just kind of, I mean, he'd confess the word. He'd believe the Lord for his healing, everything. But he just was kind of having to live with it. And then he started, totally unrelated, he started cleaning up his life and you know, getting this stuff all out of his life, confessing things, straightening things up. He was getting up in the morning earlier and fellowshipping with the Lord, doing more than he should be doing. And one day he woke up and he got out of bed and he noticed his back wasn't hurt. And he thought about that. He said, well, you know, I've been believing God for my back to be healed for all this time. What happened? And the Lord said, well, this is a result of you cleaning up your act. Now, here's the thing. A lot of Christians will say, well, now, wait a minute, Dr. Bill. You said that we could get healed by stopping our sin and cleaning up our act. Well, it's not a matter of you get healed because of that, but you remove hindrances. See, Satan likes to throw things at you when he has opportunity. Remember what the scripture says, don't give the devil an opportunity. So we give him opportunity by opening up these doors, by saying things we shouldn't say, acting in ways we shouldn't act, confessing things we shouldn't be confessing, so forth. All of that opens doors. So if we close those doors, then it closes his opportunity. We don't give the devil an opportunity, and we resist the devil, and he flees from us. James 4:7. So, if we will live a life dedicated to God, it will benefit us, as well as praising the Lord, giving glory to Him, being a gift to Him. Ultimately, that's what we're doing it for. So let's look at verse 16 again. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now the word fear here, as we know, is not quaking, terror, or fear. It's respect. We have respect toward God, that honor and respect that we give Him, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now notice verse 22 there. Since you have purified your souls, remember your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So we are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. We live in a physical body. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We are the ones that have to purify our souls. Now, the way we do that is Romans 12:1 talks about that we renew our minds to the Word of God. As a matter of fact, let's look, you won't have to turn there, but refer to Psalm 119:11. Says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, there are a lot of people who would ask the question, how could I possibly live a holy life? How is it possible to live holy? Well, here it says, we purify our souls in obeying the truth. Well, what is the truth? John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
All right, we're going to have to stop right here for this week. We're going to pick up next week with the remainder of this message. So stay tuned for that. Now, in the meantime, I would love to hear from you. As I said right at the top of the program, I really enjoy hearing from you folks that are watching the netcast. So be sure to write me. You can write me at good old snail mail, as they call it, regular mail. And that is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27262. Or you could just send me a quick email. My email address, drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, just run that together, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org, as it says there on the screen. We'd love to hear from you. It would be such a blessing. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.